Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, March 4th, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The sermon is entitled, I Dream of a Church. Our gospel lesson today is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, and the New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13.
We have two lessons that are both from the New Testament. The first one was from the Gospels, and the second is coming from the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. It's a familiar text, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. You may hear it at weddings, but I also invite you to hear these words and think about perhaps coworkers or people that are in your workout class, or perhaps people in this room. Listen to God's word to you today. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then will I know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these, is love. Please join me in a word of prayer. God, we long to hear your words of love. But we also pray by your Holy Spirit that we might understand how that love works in and through our lives and into the world. God, help these words not to just stay on the page, but to become a part of our lives, that we might be the messengers of your good news to a world that needs it so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I think everybody's over 13 in the room today. Okay, I can say this. I couldn't say this first service. Ever played a card game called BS? Yeah? Those of you who haven't played this card game, right? You deal out all the cards. It's like a good game for family reunions, right? One person starts and they put the card face down and they say, I put down one ace. The next person can say, I put down 1-2. I put down 2-3s. Somebody says, I put down 2-4s, and somebody says, BS. And then you flip over those two cards, and if there are 2-4s, then the person who called it has to take the whole pile. But say you snuck in like a jack and a 2, because that's what you had in your hand, then yeah, you got caught. and you have to take all those cards back in. First service, I called it, you know, I caught you lying or something like that. But you all know what it's been called. It's that sense of hypocrisy, doing one thing, right? Saying one thing and doing another. Doing something and trying to get away with it because you covered it over. And it's been a week in the news where I feel like I just don't know who to believe anymore, and what you say and what you do, it does not match in any way, shape, or form. But lest we just point at all those lawmakers over there and say that all the hypocrisy is out there, I wonder if there's actually anything going on a little closer to home, too. Lest we be hypocrites pointing out there without looking here. We just heard the choir sing, I'm going to come to the welcome table, we're going to dine with Jesus. The front of our worship bulletin says, welcome, we're so glad you're here. But I started to wonder if we might be a little bit of hypocrites about if everyone was really welcome here, or at least welcomed equally here. So I want you to do a thought experiment with me and imagine for a moment, you can close your eyes or leave them open, but imagine for a moment some of these folks I'll describe, and I wonder if they would get a warm welcome, not from you individually, but from the church, right? That coffee hour in here. If they'd get kind of a neutral welcome, or if they'd get a little bit of a cool welcome, right? So imagine a young family walks in with a 7-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-month-old, mom and dad and three kids, biracial couple pushing an expensive stroller. Imagine a person who came in a car that had multiple bumper stickers, loudly supporting the candidate that you did not vote for in the last presidential election. Imagine a darker-skinned woman in her 20s who's visibly pregnant. Imagine a large 20-something-year-old young man with lots of tattoos on buff arms. Imagine a white, newly retired businessman who moved to Vallejo after a divorce and has been a longtime Presbyterian and used to sing tenor in his previous church choir. Imagine a person that you aren't even sure is a man or a woman. Do you call him, her, her, it's, their? Not even sure what pronoun to use. But the person is smiling and friendly. Go ahead and open your eyes. I believe if we are honest with ourselves, we as a church might be cordial and polite to each person who walks in, but I'm not so sure that all would be equally welcomed here. Because we, and I include myself in this, are hypocrites. We judge one another based on appearance, based on status, based on age, while at the same time mouthing that God loves and accepts everyone equally. And this Lent, when we're working on honesty, it's about looking honestly at ourselves and our world. And so I feel pretty convicted, and I wonder about our church as well, when we hear these words that Jesus was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. This is from Matthew 7. He says, do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you pick on those little things, those specks in other people's lives? You don't notice the blind spot in your own? Or how do you say to your neighbor, let me fix that about you and take the speck out of your eye, rubber log and the problem is in your own eye? Jesus says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. First deal with your own honesty. First know who you are. Then you'll be able to see clearly enough to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. I don't know a single person who wouldn't be guilty of judging. I'm guilty, you're guilty, we're all guilty. And I think it's because we all see through a mirror dimly, as we hear in Corinthians. For even though we know, right, that God created each and every human being in God's image, that each one is created in the image of God, we still judge and evaluate some humans as being more important than others, and others as being less valuable. But here's one part of the good news. Jesus Christ forgives even hypocrites. It's what we proclaim when we say we are forgiven, that we are loved by Christ not because we get everything right, but because we are offered this free gift of forgiveness. And that even those who judge others and live under judgment do not live under God's judgment, but live under God's grace and God's forgiveness. And in God's forgiveness, God indeed sees and values every single human being, regardless of the mistakes that have been made, and offers love and grace. But here's part two of the good news this morning, because I also want to connect this sense of grace to the sense of the waters of justice. As we're singing and talking about this theme of letting justice roll down like waters, I want to connect the two. Now, those of you who are doing the Bible study and reading Generous Justice, How God's Grace Make Us Just, this might be review for you all. But Keller makes a direct link between the grace and salvation given to us in Jesus Christ and justice. For he points out that when you know your salvation in Jesus Christ, when you yourself have been reconciled to God, when you recognize how your sins have been forgiven through no work of your own, when you recognize that you are not under judgment, but under grace and under love. In other words, when you know that the log in your eye is forgiven, then the response is to love as you have already been loved, and to love as Jesus loves, and to let that love triumph over judgment. And so if we look back to that 1 Corinthians 13 text, what does love look like? Love is patient. Right? How many times are we so quick to judge? Love asks us to slow down. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Right? Judgment sort of says, I'm right and you're wrong. It's going to be my way or the highway. Love may know what's right and wrong, but does not insist it and does not push it. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. And so I dream of a church. I dream of a church that values love over judgment. I dream of a church where our love connects us to one another, even when we disagree, and perhaps especially when we disagree. I dream of a church where the love and welcome of Christ is shown to everyone, truly everyone, regardless of body shape, race, dress and cleanliness, sexual orientation, ability or disability. I dream of a church where love conquers fears. I dream of a church where love is shared especially with those who are vulnerable, the poor, the elderly, the voiceless. I dream of a church where the love of Jesus cannot and is not confined to these walls, but spills forth from this place and bubbles into a neighborhood. I dream of a church where the justice is indeed rolling down like waters. I dream of a church that demonstrates the grace, love, and forgiveness of Jesus Christ in our actions in such a way that the world cannot stop, but help but stop and notice. I dream of that church. And today I invite you to dream of that church as well. If the ushers in the back can go grab those blue sheets of paper and pass them out. During Lent, we're contributing to the waters of justice each week. And we're writing down words on strips of cloth or paper that are added to our ever-flowing stream. Today, I invite you to write a word, represent what frustrates you about church, if you have one. And these will be part of the waters and God's promise for transformation, so that we all might be dreaming of a church that is more like the one that God longs to see in our world.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.